You know, hope's one of those peculiar things. I remember the line in Shawshank Redemption when Red is being pessimistic about the idea of hope, and he refers to hope as a dangerous thing. A dangerous thing. He viewed it as something not to aspire to, but something to beware of. And of course, the big thrust of that movie was him eventually coming over to the side of hope and seeing the possibilities of what hope can bring into our lives. We hope for a lot of things. I think about the things that I hope for. I remember hoping for years, and I mean years, that Georgia would actually win a football game at the end of the season. And then they finally did, and then they did it again, and glory be to God. I mean, it was just great. It was like my hopes were finally realized. But a lot of times our hopes do not come to pass. There are things we hope for that we don't actually live to see. I've been walking in the midst of hope for a while. I want to confess to you that the beginning of this school year was a little rocky. I had a lot of things on my plate, and I was juggling many things. And also, we have a preschool here at the church, and our director, Mallory Thompson, and I would just kind of talk, and we would say, October is going to be great. When we get to October, when we get through September, when all this stuff that I'm working on is behind us, once the school year is rolling for the preschool, October is going to be great. And then October was hurricane relief, and so that didn't work. And so she called me when we were talking about figuring out when the preschool was going to reopen, and she said, I just had to laugh because you've been looking forward to October for so long, and here we are. It's October. And I said, you know what, Mallory? November is going to be great. November's going to be great. That's become my motto around the office for the past few weeks. And then on November the 1st, I receive a text message at about 8:15 in the morning from Mallory saying, November's the month, right? It's beginning with a broken down truck in the alley that we use for drop-off for preschool, and we can't get through, and we're having to reroute all the traffic. To which I responded, Monday is going to begin November, and it's going to be great. I have been hoping for November. A lot of people have been hoping for November for different reasons. They haven't been walking in the burdens that I have been walking in, and they've been hoping for November just so the political ads will end. Amen? I mean, after tomorrow, Tuesday, hopefully we're in the clear for a while, and just every time my phone buzzes, I think it's somebody who loves me, and it's not. It's someone who wants me to vote for something or be angry about something. And I'm hoping for that to end soon, and also hoping for a good outcome as well. Many people put their hope in things that, even if you are putting your hope in a leader, I have news for all of us. We will be disappointed at some point along the way, because putting our hope in things that aren't ultimately going to be 100% foolproof and certain will always lead to some degree of disappointment. We might have high expectations, we might have high hopes, but we might not live to see the fulfillment of that hope and the fullness of what that hope ought to be. And so it raises the question, as we've been walking through this series for the past few weeks, about finding peace within ourselves, finding peace with others, living a life in which we are governed by peace. I think at the heart of peace, of truly being at peace, is being people of hope. Being people who hope and believe in something beyond ourselves, being people who hope and believe that there is something greater that we have to look forward to, and believing that there is a peace that can govern us and give us a sense of comfort and belief just simply because of the hope that we share in. And so that the question for us is, what does that kind of hope look like? What is the kind of hope that leads to peace? If we want to be people of peace, if we want to be people who feel as though we have something certain, something truthful that we can cling on to, what does that hope look like for us that ultimately leads to peace? I love this passage in 1 Peter, and it's just filled with hope. I mean, right out of the gate, Peter begins this message to the group of early Christians that he was writing to, and he wants them to be people of hope. He wants them to be people who see that there is something to look forward to, that even though they are walking in difficulties, even though they are facing trials, even though this world may not have all that they want and all that they want to experience, there is a hope that they have that they can cling to that will lead to something beyond this life and what this life has to offer. And he begins with this phrase, as after he does his little greeting at the beginning, we get verse 3, And he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, there's some movement within that last sentence right there. It is in his great mercy. This is something that he has demonstrated to us. This is not something that we earned. This is not something that was promised to us that we just ultimately were going to receive no matter what. No, this is something where God has stepped in through the gift of mercy, through the gift of sending his son Jesus. And through that, it has given to us a new birth and a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That this is something that has been given to us, and this gift of mercy has been given so that there is an outcome, and that outcome for us is the sense of new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And this is the kind of hope that we cling to. We want to cling to a living hope. It is a living hope. We don't want a hope that has an expiration date on it. We do not want a hope that is going to be here today and gone tomorrow. We want a hope that is eternal. We want a hope that is alive. We want a hope that has promise to it. And I love that phrase, a living hope, because a living hope is something that it has life to it, that has promise to it. It's something we can believe in and something we can rely on. There are ideas that come and go, but hope is one that is eternal. And the hope that we have is not one that is here today and gone tomorrow. It is an everlasting hope because it is rooted in the gift of God's mercy, and it is rooted in the gift of the resurrection of Jesus, which in and of itself invites us into that experience of experience eternal life and resurrection ourselves. It's an incredible promise. It's an incredible way to live our lives. And so we think about all the things that we put our hopes in, a sport team, a political leader, another person that we have companionship with. We think about all the things that we put our hope in, a job, the stock market, our career, whatever it is, all those things that we put our hope in ultimately have the potential to let us down. But when we look at the gift of this living hope, the resurrection from the dead of Jesus Christ, and the invitation for us to experience new birth, to experience a resurrected eternal life, that is a hope that lasts. That's a hope that has a promise to it, and it is a living hope. And Jesus, Peter here, he expands on it by talking about what that hope looks like. And he says in verses 4 and 5, "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." In other words, this is an inheritance that is given to us, and it is a lasting inheritance. It is something that lasts. Now, I don't know how many of you have received an inheritance in your life. I've had the privilege of knowing in my lifetime three of my four grandparents, very blessed by them, and received something when they passed away. And I remember when my grandfather passed away, there was some money that he gave, and my wife Emma and I were recently graduated from graduate school. We both did grad school at the exact same time, working on or living off of one salary. And so there was some debt there, and that money helped us to pay off some of that debt. Now, we appreciated that, but that was not a lasting inheritance. I mean, it just went in one bank account and into another, and that was the end of it. But there are other things that I look back on that my grandparents gave me. There are things that last. I still think about the character of those three grandparents and the principles that they instilled in us, whether it be hard work or honesty, integrity. I mean, there were so many things about them that I carry on in my life. I think about my grandmother, who was in church every single Sunday. Now, she was a Southern lady. It may have just been to see and be seen, but she was there every Sunday. And even if it might have been a cultural thing, at times, she had a faith that was persistent, and she was consistent with it. I think about my other grandmother that I lost when I was in high school, and I just think of just year after year, all throughout her life, how she worked to support her family and just that hard work and that diligence. Think about my grandfather and just the grace and support he showed me at a time in my life when I was walking through a dark chapter. Those are things that are a lasting inheritance. Those are things that are not here today and gone tomorrow. They're not in one bank account and then out another one. Material things and assets are great, but what really lasts are those things that take root in our life and they shape us and we carry them with us. I always think on All Saints Day just on the gifts that we've been given by those who have gone before us. I think about those that whose names we'll celebrate today, and I've got memories of some of them, just of visits that we would share together, conversations we would have. I look back on the 4.5 years that I've been here and all the names that have been read and all the services I've gone to, and there's a legacy that's there. There is an inheritance that lasts. And what Peter wants to get across here is that this inheritance that's been given to us, this living hope, it is something that is a treasure that exists forever. It is going to last. It is going to stay with us. And it's something that we can carry with us the rest of our days. Just as we carry those memories and that legacy and the principles that are instilled within us, we carry them through with us as a lasting inheritance. It's the same way with the hope that's given to us through Jesus and the resurrection and the invitation into new birth. And then the last part of this passage, it really hits on kind of what does this mean for us, okay? You know, hope is kind of one of those abstract things we think about, but what does it really look like? What does it mean for us? And the last few verses of this passage say, "In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." And what this walks us through is that we in this life are going to face difficulty. We are going to face trials of many kinds. Verses 6 and 7 really hit on that. We are going to experience grief. We are going to experience heartbreak. We are going to put our hope in things that will disappoint. We are going to have to face moments where it seems as though the world is against us or someone is against us and standing in opposition to where we feel like we ought to be. But in the midst of that, we have something to look forward to. We have something beyond the walls of this world, beyond the walls of our experiences here, that we have on the other side. And we shall receive, what it says there in verse 9, the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. And it's hard because as verse 8 tells us, we have seen him and love him. Though we have not seen him, we love him. Even though we do not see him now, we believe in him. It is hard sometimes to walk through when we see the difficulties that we are experiencing in our daily lives, but we long and believe for something that is beyond what we can tangibly see in the moment. We are looking for something that has a loving expectation. We are looking for something that is going to be characterized by that fellowship and that hope and that belief of everlasting life and everlasting hope. It is a loving expectation. And that anticipation, that expectation, is what keeps us going at times when our earthly hope is fleeting. I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about the experience of eternal life and what that's going to look like. I don't know if you ever sit around and just ponder that sometimes. Sometimes I just like to think about, okay, what's it going to look like on the other side of this life? And I kind of, you know, we'll kind of meditate on it, and I'm going to just be completely honest with you. I've been in ministry of some form for about 25 years. I've got multiple degrees in religion and theology, and I have no clue. I have no idea what to expect really, other than some hints that were given in Scripture, and you know, the testimonies of those who have had kind of where they've crossed over to the other side and then were brought back to life. There are some things that we can anticipate in that, but I have no clue really what to expect. And it bothered me for a really long time. And I remember I had an experience a couple of years ago where I was at a little mini reunion with a group of my friends. And one of the guys, we had been involved in church activities together. We had done a lot of things together. We were in each other's weddings. And he had some things happen in his life that caused him to question his faith. And he ended up walking away from it. He said, you know, I just don't believe what I used to believe anymore. And he said, I just believe that when this life is over, that's it. That's the end of it. And it shook me. I mean, this was somebody that I had prayed with. This is somebody that I had shared, you know, deep spiritual thoughts with before. And it just kind of shook me to the core. And it sent me into this, what I felt like was a little bit of a spiral over the course of the next few months of just really wrestling with what I believed. And I went back to the Scriptures and I'm studying the Scripture. It wasn't that I was distant from God, but I was just struggling. I was trying to figure out what it is. And I have to admit that I had a really difficult time thinking about this whole idea of eternity and what does it actually look like? What does this hope look like when it is realized, when we experience the fulfillment of our faith, the salvation of our souls, and that new birth through the resurrection and the eternal life offered to us through Jesus? And like I said, I don't really have a clue what to expect. But here's what happened. I was out walking one night. I had just tested positive for COVID. Only time I know that I've gotten it. And I was just kind of down in the dumps. And I was like, I'm just going to go for a walk. So I went and walked 5 miles, which is not a smart thing to do when you just test positive for COVID, but that's beside the point. But I'm out walking and I'm wrestling with this thought. It's been stirring in my head. And there were a lot of things going on here in the church that I was wrestling with as well. And I was like, I just need to go and clear my mind and maybe my lungs as well. And so I'm out walking. And I just started cycling through some worship songs. Now, remember, there's a song we sing and hear from time to time that I just love called The Goodness of God. And in that song, it invites us to reflect on this idea of all my life you have been faithful, all my life you have been good to me. And I just remember walking, and I can take you to exactly the spot that I remember being on a mill pond, just a block or so away from my house. And it was just like it hit me like a brick wall. When have I not experienced God to be faithful? When have I not seen the goodness of God in my life? Even when I have wandered and gone astray, he has always called me back home. When I looked at my life, when I looked at what I saw in the Scriptures, when I thought about my faith in Jesus, I never questioned whether I believed in Jesus. And then it was as though God was saying, I have been faithful to you throughout your entire life. I have carried you. I have walked with you. I have been there for you. And you have a faith and a belief in my son, Jesus Christ. So why are you struggling with this one thing? To which I responded, because I'm human, Lord. That's the way you made me. No, I mean, I remember having just that feeling of, that's it. That's it. Even though I can't see it, what I can see is the faithfulness that God has demonstrated in my life over and over and over again. Though I cannot see what to anticipate and what to expect and what that hope might be, I do know that I have seen over and over again God's word turn out to be true. God's word be revealed. God's word, just like we have a living hope, we have a living word. And I have seen it play out in the lives of others. I have seen it play out when the Holy Spirit moves in a powerful way and we gather together and the word is proclaimed. And then people are walking out and they're saying, God just spoke this to me today. And I said, that was not in my outline. That is awesome that God spoke that to you. And I see these things over and over and over again. And I can't help but say that I have seen the goodness of God. And I have seen that over and over and over again that he has been faithful. And that's why I have hope. That's why I believe and I trust and I keep going with this loving expectation of what is going to be. few weeks ago, I had something pop up in my life, and one of these days I'll be ready to talk about it, but I'm not there yet. But it caused me yet again to just kind of go back to the drawing board and kind of question some things in my life and just kind of reflect a little bit. And then about a week after that, Kenji and I were leading music for the camp meeting up at Camp Tigert, and we're supposed to pick songs. I'm supposed to pick a few. He's supposed to pick a few. And I came back with one. Well, I had another one too that we could do together, but I really came back with one. Goodness of God. Sometimes it was the only song you can sing. Sometimes God calls you back to that, and you just need to be reminded of the hope that He has given you. Sometimes you need to be called back to a moment where God ministered to something in your life. It might be an experience with someone that you loved and have lost. It might be something where God spoke to you in a certain place, in a certain time. But we get called back to those moments, and it reminds us of the hope and the faith that we have. But more than that, it reminds us that our hope is not something that is passive. It is not something that is here today and gone tomorrow. It is a living and lasting and ever eternal hope that we can bank our lives upon. And so as we come to celebrate the lives of those that have been a part of our community of faith, as we come to remember other names that have been a part of our lives that we remember and treasure, and as we come to the table, we are coming to this place where God's mercy is on display for us. It is demonstrated for us. It is shown to us. And we are invited to partake at this feast, to celebrate in the goodness of God, and to let His love and grace speak into our lives.